One alternative is for similar peace agreement in Darfur to broaden that political reform. Because always the problem in Sudan, even with Nimeiri's reform in 1972 when the civil war ended, was that the political system in the south was reformed, in the north it wasn't reformed. Right. Sudan needs a countrywide political reform. Well, unfortunately, we have the ICC, which says, no, criminal justice must have priority. Even if it stops any effort to end the conflict, criminal justice must have priority. Now my point, my last point, my point is this. Accountability is important. But keep in mind that we need to hold accountable not only the violators of rights, those who violate rights, but we also need to hold accountable those who enforce rights. Because if you don't hold accountable those who enforce rights, they can turn justice, they can privatize it, they can turn justice into their own personal vendetta. What is the accountability of this thing called the ICC? Today, the only accountability, minimal accountability, is to the Security Council. When the Indian government refused to join the ICC, one of the reasons it cited was that if the ICC was going to be accountable to the Security Council, it means the ICC will never try any member of the Security Council. Second point is this. The price of criminal justice in Sudan. Nowhere in the world does law exist outside of a relationship with politics. Enforcers of the law are always held politically accountable. Think of it, in the US, 8 years ago there was an election. CNN had a poll during the last election. Said most Americans believed that the election 8 years ago was rigged, the results were rigged, right? But the results held. There was no humanitarian intervention from outside. The system was allowed to reform itself. The right to reform belongs to those who are independent, belongs to those who are sovereign. If the ICC were to hold accountable those who committed war crimes in the US, the American system is strong enough to withstand the shock. If the ICC was to hold accountable war criminals in the US, there wouldn't be a civil war. I don't think the red states would go to war against the blue states. But I don't think we can say with confidence that prioritizing criminal justice in Sudan will not expand and the war in Darfur and create a civil war. My last word is about the responsibility of the media. I'm struck by the fact that the Save Darfur movement was completely unconcerned about the facts. Even when rebutted, pointed out by the GAO, and even by the court in Britain a couple of years later, You know, Fulbright, Senator Fulbright, wrote a book called Arrogance of Power. And basically what Fulbright was saying is that when those in power are intoxicated with power, they don't really give a damn about facts, about the reality, because they think they're so powerful they can cope with any reality. And it's only when reality stands in the face of power that power is forced to take account of reality. Save Darfur also did the second thing. Not simply ignoring the facts, but and I think one has to, I at least asked myself, because I live in New York City 9 months of the year, three months in Kampala, and I found, and I wrote about this in the book, I think I should read that.
You want a book here?
I think I have a sticker. Ah, yeah. Believe me, even though I wrote it, I don't know what's on
every page. I'll read that and I'll stop. Now I have so many markers here that I can't be sure which one is which.
It's the Marley marker.
Yeah, too many markers. Okay. Perhaps Save Darfur should be credited with an even greater success, depoliticizing Americans, especially those Americans who felt the need to do something in the face of disasters perpetrated by the Bush administration. The Save Darfur coalition was able to capture and tame a part of this potential rebellious constituency, especially students, thereby marginalizing and overshadowing those who continued to mobilize around Iraq. This successful displacement was indeed a model campaign, a successful lesson in depoliticization. Whatever its analytical weaknesses, the depoliticization of violence has given its proponents distinct political advantages. To begin with, they have been able to occupy the moral high ground through a campaign that has presented itself as apolitical but moral, its concern limited only to saving lives. This simplicity has created a huge advantage. Only a campaign targeting an issue where American power was not directly implicated could bring together in a unified chorus forces that are otherwise adversaries on most important issues of the day. At one end of the spectrum, the Christian right and the Zionist lobby. At the other, African-American groups born of the civil rights struggle and a mainly school and university-based peace movement. Among the organizers of the Save Darfur rally to stop genocide in Washington in 2006 were groups as diverse as the American Jewish World Service, the American Society for Muslim Advancement, the National Association of Evangelicals, etc., etc. Surely such a wide coalition would splinter if the issue shifted to, say, Iraq.